Chapter 14. The Ship Returns. In which Robert Walton writes another letter. The 26th of August. So, dear Margaret, you have now read this strange and amazing story. It is very frightening, isn't it? Sometimes Victor Frankenstein was so upset and in so much pain that he could not continue his story and began to cry instead. Other times he was filled with anger and almost shouted his words. Although it seems impossible, I believe his story. He showed me some documents, and I saw for myself the huge, strange-looking creature on the other sledge. I'm very interested in this creature. Can it be possible that Frankenstein has really created this amazing living thing? I think it is. I have asked him to explain to me how he did it, but he refuses to tell me. "Are you mad, my friend?" he said. "Why do you want to know? Do you want to create for yourself and the world another dangerous monster? No. Learn by my terrible mistakes and do not ask to know more about this." Frankenstein saw that I was writing notes as he spoke. He asked to see them and has read and corrected them, and he has also added information in some places. It has taken a whole week for him to tell me the whole story, and I have listened carefully to every word. He has become a friend to me, and I want to help him, and yet he is so miserable and so upset by all the awful things that have happened to him. We do not always talk about his horrific experiences. He is very intelligent and knows a lot about many different subjects. But he has given up on life and is so damaged and has known so much pain that I am frightened he cannot be saved. The 2nd of September. My dear sister, I write to you not knowing whether I will ever again see England. There is a lot of ice around the ship, and now we can hardly move. The sailors come to me wanting me to give them news, but I have none to give. It is my job to lead and look after these men, and to keep them safe. And if something bad does happen here, then what about you? You would wait for years and years and hear nothing, and you would never know what happened to us. I do hope this ice moves soon, and we are able to continue our journey. The 5th of September. We are still in the middle of huge mountains of ice. Several of my men have already died from the cold, and Frankenstein has become thinner and seems more unwell every day. Many of the sailors are now calling for us to turn around and return to Russia if we manage to move away from this ice. But I am not sure. I think I would rather die out here than give up and return home, not having made any new discoveries. The 12th of September. I have decided. We are returning to England. I have lost all hope of success and fame, and I have lost my friend. I will describe what has happened here, my dear sister, while I am slowly sailing towards England and towards you. On the 9th of September, the ice began to move with sounds as loud as thunder. It was dangerous, but we were lucky and the ship was not damaged. The ice broke, and then the ship was able to move freely. The sailors now all wanted to go home, and I could not refuse them any longer. Frankenstein was now very weak, and when he heard this news, he was upset and became more unwell. I sat next to his bed, and again he asked me, Will you find and kill the monster? I cannot now do it myself. I am ready to die. And if you will not do this, then look for happiness in life and do not try to be great and famous." He held my hand, and his voice became quieter as he spoke, and then, 30 minutes or so later, his eyes closed forever. "Margaret, what can I say that will tell you how sad I now feel? I am crying, and I feel miserable, but at least I am returning to you. Oh, wait, there are some noises, and I need to go and check. I can hear a voice coming from where Frankenstein's body lies. I will write more soon. Good night, my dear sister." Oh, I can hardly describe what has just happened. But I must, because it is the end of this horrific story. I entered the room where my friend's body lay. Something, someone, enormous and very strange was standing over him. One arm was reaching out towards Frankenstein, and I could see the skin on the huge arm, and it was yellow and horrible. He was quietly talking to Frankenstein's body, but when he heard me behind him, he stopped talking. He turned, and I saw the full horror of his ugly face. "This is the end of it all," he cried. "Oh, Frankenstein, my creator, I came to ask you to forgive me for bringing you to your death by killing all those people whom you loved. But now you are cold and cannot answer me." At first, I had planned to kill the creature, as my friend had asked me. But now I was filled with interest. I was frightened, but I managed to speak. "It is too late for regrets now. Why did you not feel something for him all those months ago?" "Oh, but I did," he replied. "I spoke to him in peace, and I asked him to help me, but he would not. All I wanted was to have a family or a friend, but now he is dead. I have spent my life alone and sad. Every person who sees me hates me and is scared of me. How can I possibly have lived without anger, pain, and revenge? And now it has all come to an end. But there is one more thing that I must do. I will leave this ship and go to the north, where I will collect wood and make a huge fire. On it I will burn myself and die. I will find peace and happiness in death. And I and Frankenstein will both be forgotten. Goodbye." He jumped from the window of the ship as he said this and landed on a large piece of ice below. He was soon carried away by the sea, and he was lost in darkness. Penguin Readers. Frankenstein, Mary Shelley. Level 5. Retold by Helen Holwell. Illustrated by Rowan Eason. Series Editor Sorrel Pitts. Read by Nigel Pilkington. Copyright Penguin Books Limited, 2020.